dbkmediaservices.com. It's time now for the Cardoz Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts for the Cardoz Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk, Shane Combs and Matt Combs.
Hello, SVC fans, and welcome back to the Cardoz Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk podcast show. This is Shane Combs of SVCSportsZone.com, and it is season two on our podcast feature. And I know I got thinking as last week, Football Friday Night was coming up on us, that, you know, the summertime is incredible. As a teacher, I'd be lying if I didn't admit that I enjoy the time away, spend at home with the family, do some different things on my own. But there's something about high school sports. You know, when it comes to sports, I'm a huge NBA fan, probably more than most people. I love the passion of college sports. NFL fan, I love playing fantasy football. I love to play golf. I love to watch golf as Tiger chases Jack, you know, the different majors. And then obviously I'm a huge Reds fan. I'm the edge of your seat type of fan on every pitch all summer long. But as the calendar turns August, and you get closer to going back to school, there's just something about high school sports. And I was thinking in the car on the way home today, starting the website in 2008, all the different things that we've tried to do on SVCSportsZone.com and our Herbie Strange State Farm Insurance Athlete of the Week, even how we started to try to cover some junior high and junior varsity. And by the way, fans, the junior high schedules, the Embroid Me schedules are located on the school pages. So I know some of you have asked about that. So, again, we try to do all age groups and just our SVC signings, kids going to college, every sport icon down the left side. Try our best not to leave any sport out. Good cross-country coverage, soccer, really good golf coverage. And I'll be joined again here during the fall by my brother Matt. And Matt, as I welcome you back to the show and we get going here in season two, just wanted to get a comment, some of your thoughts on what you think the podcast is accomplished in year one and where we're heading this year.
Well, it was exciting. You know, last year it was an idea that we kind of came up with, and, you know, anytime you do, you don't know how it's going to go. But it seemed to catch on pretty well. And, you know, a lot of that credit goes to, you know, DBK Media Services and Bruce Knox, the job he does making us, you know, sound good and making it sound like a, you know, like a professional, you know, output. But I think that we're like the athletes and the coaches, I guess, that we cover. We're always looking for ways to make it better. And I think we've got some new ideas this year that'll be a little bit different, and just to try to bring something to it. And that's kind of the way this website's grown. Each year we're looking for something new to try to add to the website and to this podcast. So it should be a lot of fun.
Well, it is exciting, Matt. We have a great show this week. I think fans are really going to enjoy it. We have discussion in volleyball that everyone seems to have an opinion on. I'll give you mine, and I'm going to ask Matt to do the same as we respond to some fans on email, Facebook, and all sorts of different media. And our golf league, I know it seems the same, yet I'm going to tell you why it's so different. Football discussion, we're going to talk best quarterback in the SVC, not named Trent Williamson. We're going to talk most overlooked position. I'm going to tell you why the time is now for certain SVC programs on the football field. And, you know, all of this and more throughout the show. But on the other side of the break, we start back on what has everyone talking SVC volleyball. So let's go. Well, as we get into volleyball, you've always heard me say it's hard to talk SVC volleyball without starting with a dean, and this year's no different, although some might argue it's for some different reasons. Just to kind of catch everybody up on what's going on, in case you're maybe new to the SVC, or if you've been in the SVC and haven't been paying attention for the past two decades, Adina, 98 straight SVC matches, 142 straight home wins, 21 of 22 SVC titles. All but two, I believe, have been outright, and I think there's 14 gold balls in there, and they're currently on a 7-straight gold ball run. And you know, usually this time of year, we're talking, are they going to lose a set, let alone a match? And I guess the whole thing is you look at their roster, and that's what has everybody discussing what's going on out there in Frankfurt with the dynasty. And, you know, you look back last year, they come off the state tournament, and they're going to have 8 or 9 different kids back from a state team, and it looks like they're going to really roll again. Rumors start to fly in the summer, a couple kids not playing. I know I had seen them out at their own summer tournament, and they still look just as good as ever against a really good field. As the summer went on into the preseason, the roster continued to shrink a little bit more. And, you know, this isn't necessarily new in today's time. I think a lot of athletes not playing sports for whatever reason. But in a way, in a successful program, it is. I know it's so interesting how many different fans have had an opinion on this. Here's one thing that came into us earlier in the preseason. The person says, are they bored with winning? Don't understand why kids would not want to play. Some kids would kill for a chance to play in regional or state tournament just once. Another one says, Shane, do you think the kids at Edina are starting to feel the pressure? I say pressure because no one wants to be that group that ends the streak. And, you know, Matt, I'll throw this to you first in terms of, and again, I should say real quick, Facebook, I'd love to have you as a friend on there, Shane Combs, SVC Sports Zone. I know SEO Preps, SEO NEK Preps, and JJ Huddle, all really good to spread our website. So that's where a lot of these comments come from that generate this discussion. So I definitely want to throw that out there. But Matt, as you hear those and you're becoming more familiar, just what's your initial reaction to it?
Well, you know, I think first and foremost, you know, we have to understand, obviously, that, you know, we're dealing with teenagers here, you know, in terms of these kids on the team or that decided not to be on the team. We don't know the whole story, and that's probably the way it should be. Again, you know, we're dealing with kids. But I think when you start looking at a program that's as successful as Edina Volleyball's been, there's, you know, when you start looking at programs that are that successful, I think there's a couple common threads. One, I think that there's a high level of expectation, obviously. You know, these teams, you know, teams like Edina, they don't go into the season thinking, you know, gee whiz, hopefully we can win a few more than we lose. You know, they go into the season with the idea that we're going to win every game and maybe win a state championship, you know, and those are the types of high expectations they have. With that, like the one emailer said or Facebook person said, you know, comes some pressure. You know, when you have those high expectations, obviously, sure, you're under pressure. You don't want to be sometimes you don't want to be the team that maybe, you know, ends the streak, so to speak, or anything like that. Some kids don't react well, don't like that. I mean, I'm just speculating here, you know, but, and then the second thing that comes with programs like that is it takes a high level of commitment to be a part of it. You know, you don't play volleyball for Edina by showing up in, you know, in November or in August rather, ready to play. You know, you just, right, you know, you have to put a lot of time in the off season. It takes a high level of commitment to be a part of a program that is that good. And some kids aren't willing to put that time in, or they feel like, you know, they have other things they want to do. And at the end of the day, let's face it. I mean, as serious as we take it as coaches and as much time as we put into it, it is a game, and you don't have to have it to graduate high school. And these girls that decided not to play, they can go on and be successful and do what they do. But, you know, I think the kids that are there at Edina that are left that are playing, they're going to rally around each other, and I'm sure they'll be okay.
Well, my opinion, and maybe you agree with me, maybe you don't.
I can't believe that there's someone out there that might even disagree with something I said.
Well, again, that's our good friend Eric Snyder, who hopefully will be joining me in the winter again to talk basketball. But in all seriousness, in my opinion, as I look at this, it's so hard to prepare a varsity program year in, year out, just to be competitive in the Scioto Valley Conference. So to take into consideration what Edina has done in the last two decades is just crazy good. And I think the thing that I guess the coach comes out in me is it's okay to push kids. It's okay to try to get the best out of them. The problem is the fans are usually going to want that high result, even if they don't support that type of commitment. I love what Urban Meyer said as I was watching All Access on ESPN, he was talking to his football team about how it's so easy to be average. And if you think about that, it kind of goes back to what you said. I love what you said, Matt, about how to play at the level they play at. It takes an incredible commitment. I know there's another comment that came in kind of on the other side of this a little bit. In all fairness, it says, I think it is unfair how these kids are being looked at for not playing. There are other things more important than high school volleyball. And I guess my reaction to that is I agree. And it's one of those things that if kids are having trouble in high school English or high school government, they would have to suck it up and deal with it and go on, because they need those things to be successful in the classroom and education wise. But yeah, high school sports are valuable learning tools that can be used for student athletes, but it's not something kids have to do. And if they choose not to, then we go on. Yeah, and like you said, we're dealing with high school kids, and we don't want to drive this in the ground. But again, it's our job to preview these sports and look. And this is obviously a major factor, not just this year, but really in SVC history. So before we go on, Matt, any response to that last email that had come in, and just the overall topic in general?
No one's going to be able to disagree with the fact that, you know, a sport's not life or death, obviously. You know, I think we all agree with that. There are things more important. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, the kids have to make their decision, and the coach is going to, you know, the coach is going to do what she does. She's not going to change, and nor should she, when she's had the success that she's had. I mean, she's obviously got a pretty good finger on the pulse of what it takes to have a successful volleyball program. So she's going to do what she does, and I'm sure she's going to coach the kids she has. And let's face it, you know, we're talking about a program like Adina. I'm sure they have the next person up philosophy. You know, they've got people waiting in the wings there and people ready to go. So I'm sure they'll be fine.
Well, as we get into the preview, and you can go on the website and you can see the article that I'd written after the preview from Saturday night out at Southeastern, and Tracy Carl was kind enough to take some pictures for us, and they're on there as well. Real nice coverage. And, you know, as we get into the preview and I start with Adina, I guess my reaction is they're still Adina. The team looks across the net. You're still going to see the two shade blue, and it's still that hurdle that teams have to get past. This is still a really good volleyball team. I think of Jenny Grigsby, one of the best winners in our conference. I think you have to go back to like her sophomore year in basketball since she's even lost an SVC contest. Probably throughout her career, you could count on one hand the amounts of time she's even lost an SVC contest. So obviously she's a great leader and a winner. Alyssa Kennedy's a really, really good athlete that I've always liked as I've watched her come up through the JV ranks as a freshman, sophomore. Now that she's reached her senior year, I think she's going to have a real breakout year at the net. And if you're looking for a breakout player, look no further than Bridget Skaggs. This is a kid that's very, very talented. You go back, she's big game experience. If you look at Bloom Care on the regional last year in Miami East in the Final Four, 6 or 7 kills while hitting over 400%. And for those of you not familiar with volleyball stats, look at it kind of like baseball, softball. If a kid's hitting 300, 400, that's outstanding. So she's a real, real efficient player. And, you know, you watch Adina play the other night. Has the talent gap closed a little bit? Probably. The overall athleticism and things like that, probably. But they're still probably the most skilled team, the most fundamental. They play low to the ground. They pass the ball quick and low, and they run a really quick offense. And I think it's just going to be interesting. I think his first week is going to be really important in the SVC to set the tone for the entire year. Some of the teams that people are real excited about challenging, you got to start with Huntington Westfall. They matched up the other night. Both coaches not showing a ton of stuff, but with Huntington, Jackie Kello, Elena Lytle, Haley Ingram, those are three kids that are probably would be considered by most to be the best at their position in the league, or at least as good as anyone else. Lane Beasley, Delaney Gregg are going to be key contributors to try to give them a little bit of support. When I go to the Westfall side of things with Cobb and company, Olivia Cobb's outstanding, Link and Tackett and Curry. And, you know, Westfall's going through a little bit of injury issues themselves in the preseason, but they're obviously going to be a really good volleyball team. And than Zane Trace and Uniota. I mean, most people you talk to are saying it's a five-team race. They're even saying Zane Trace, Uniota, if this thing does turn in a different direction, they could stick their nose in. Uniota with the Overlees, Alexis and Taylor and Neff and White and Ward and a lot of different sophomores that had varsity experience a year ago. And I said in the article, and I truly believe it, I'm not sure why more people not talking about Zane Trace. They have four kids mentioned on the all-league team back from last year, Haley Carl, Delaney Spetnagel, Kylan Strasbaugh, Jillian Pontius. And I know they've got to be high on an athlete like Alex Chafin, and the Tillis is back, really nice player. So those five teams seem to be on everybody's radar. And then with Southeastern Piketon Paint Valley, I know Southeastern, really a team that serves well. When they get it going, they can cause teams some problem, especially with teams that are concerned and serve-receive. I know Emily Dressbach played really well the other night. Maddie Arledge and Morgan Jones returned for them. And then with Piketon, Leah Pelfrey is one of the real talented volleyball players in the league. Teammate KK Jenkins brings a lot of size. She's a top 10, maybe even top 5 basketball player, so we know what type of athlete she is. And then with Paint Valley, when you talk about athlete, you kind of look at Coach Holbert's track program and what they've done in basketball to improvement, and you see an athlete like a Taylor Baker leading the way, and then Stout and Stanforth and a long list of others. I know those Paint Valley kids are good kids, good athletes, so new coach there, Coach Whittle's going to, I'm sure, bring some energy, and it's going to be a really interesting league. And I had a chance to pull Lori Merriman aside the other night, and the word that keeps coming up when everybody talks volleyball this year is balanced. This is something I talked to ZT head coach Lori Merriman about Saturday night's preview.
I think it is. I think it's really balanced. We talked about that in the locker room. I think that any given night, if you're on, you're going to win. And if you're going or thinking you're going to win, you could lose. So I think it's really balanced.
I also asked Coach Merriman about the key for her ZT squad to take the next step in being a title contender.
Serve-receive. Because I think we had the offense, our setters have well improved over the summer. They've been working really hard. So I think serve-receive is going to be, if we can pass the ball, I think we'll be able to compete.
Well, and you could see why she would say that. I know you heard her mention she's excited about having her two setters back. She has just a long list of athletes at the net. Their ability to pass the ball is going to really dictate how well they are able to challenge in this what people are calling a five-team race. Again, check out the article. I think I really state it in the last paragraph probably what's so exciting about getting started right away, because we talk about we're going to get it figured out here in the first 8 days of league play. Adina Westfall, Adina Huntington, Zane Trace Westfall, Uniota Zane Trace, they all play. So make sure to check out the Good Health Chiropractic Center SVC volleyball scoreboard throughout the season for all the scores and stats. Well, as we move over to some of the sports that I think get cheated sometimes, and that's something SVCSportsZone.com, we take some pride in trying to make sure that doesn't happen. Turn our attention to golf here a little bit. I think most people would agree Uniota's still the team to beat by quite a bit, to be quite frank. Colton Forkham, returning player of the year, already off to a 36-36 start this year. Sam Calvin, a really talented sophomore, already shot 69 in a Uniota invite earlier this year at the VA. Caleb Cushing, Mr. Consistent, I like to call him, just seems to always be real solid. And then Uniota has just crazy depth. I think I read they had 17 kids in their high school program. So Coach Drummond obviously generating a lot of talent within, but also a lot of competition within, which I think is important. So I say that, and you're probably saying to yourself, same book, different chapter, but I think that would be a little bit unfair with this year's golf league. If you were to look 2 through 8, this is unlike anything we've ever seen. If you look at the standings, you look at the scores every night, there's some really good individual talent. I looked down through last year's all-league team coming back, and Southeastern's Eli McKee, and I know teammate Leighton Ackley is going through some injury issues but still playing. Eric Addy, I heard his name from Huntington. Tyler Thompson's had a great year, started the year. He was a medalist in the Huntington invite down at Dogwood. Shot 37 the other night, one off Colton Forkham's pace for medalists as Paint Valley finished fourth and much improved team. So I think that's going to be an interesting thing to follow in terms of headlines on the golf course. Soccer, Uniota girls, really solid again. You'll hear names that you recognize scoring some goals, Campbell and Cremines. Mallory Rutherford's an athlete that soccer and runs cross country. They have an outstanding goalie, Ashley Flott. Zane Trace girl's really good. Some of the reports I'm getting early in the year, I know Montana Fry had a hat trick the other night. Juwanna Korn, Cindy Johnson, Rachel Hutton, we know how good of athlete she is from other sports. So boys side too, Uniota and Zane Trace. I know the other night Uniota had five different goals from in their 5-0 win. Off the top of my head, I want to say Pelletier, Minnie, Zuppi, Congrove, and I know I'm missing one. I believe it's Skoma. So just a lot of balance there. I think we're going to have some good soccer as we get to the postseason. And then Adina and Piketon, they also are starting to generate soccer interest. And I've heard some club sports. I've heard the Southeastern, Westfall, some different schools trying it with clubs. So soccer is a growing sport. If you take our top sponsor here, Cardo's Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Zone, .com, the sponsor of our Sports Talk podcast show. They have incredible soccer. You'll see some links on our website there, so you want to check that out. I know they've been a big reason for the growth of soccer in our area. And then cross country, I guess the headline there would be Adrian Ross and Taylor Hatfield no more. They're off to run at the next level, and I guess it's time for us to get introduced to some new stars. You can always click, again, the icon on the left side of our homepage to go to these respective sports and check them out. We try to update each night. And again, Matt, some people use the term secondary sport. I don't know that I like that term. Like we said, they're probably sports that do not get enough attention. I know they have a huge influence on the All Sports banner for people who like to follow that. We try to do it with media coverage. I've even had some people make interesting comments that maybe they're not fan-friendly, cross-country, golf, things like that. You and I have both played golf. We've coached golf. I know I ran some cross-country. We've both been involved with some AD work. What's your overall opinion on these so-called secondary sports and the role they play in our high schools?
Well, I think they play an important role because, you know, it gives kids an opportunity to play some sports that possibly maybe they don't fit in some other sports. A lot of times you'll see that in golf. You know, maybe a kid grows up his whole life playing golf. He's really talented. Maybe he doesn't even play other sports, but it gives him an opportunity to play a sport at the high school level and to excel at it. And you know, cross country and soccer, you're looking at two sports there that require quite a bit of athleticism, quite a bit of commitment. You know, the fan-friendly comment is interesting. I suppose, you know, there's probably some truth to that, especially with golf and cross-country. I don't know how easy it is for a fan to, you know, grab his lawn chair and just kick back and watch. You know, you're not going to be able to see the entire 3.1 or whatever it is miles of a cross-country match. You're not going to be able to, like when you watch golf on TV and they take you, you know, they basically lead you through, you see every shot by every player. You know, you're not going to see that to high school golf. You may be able to go out and follow one kid around or something. But so, and I guess in that sense, maybe they're not real fan friendly. We try to help that a little bit, you know, with the website by giving the fans an opportunity to log on the next morning and see everything that's went on in the previous night's golf match or everything that's went on in a soccer match or a cross country invitation or whatever the case may be. So I guess that's where our role comes in a little bit.
Well, fans, you definitely don't want to go away here on this week's show. We're going to be talking football here on the other side of our next break. But I do want to remind you the inbox, that's admin1 at svcsportszone.com. Facebook, as I mentioned earlier. And then I also want to mention on the DBK Media Service website, I know Matt was talking about them earlier. They really offer so much to our website and to our show. You can subscribe to the show right there on the page where you're listening to the podcast show. Just simply enter your email in the box. You're going to get an email. You simply accept it. It's completely free, and you can subscribe so that you're sure not to miss a new release. You can comment on that site to take part in the show. And really one feature that we're hoping will grow in 2012, 2013 is our phone message system, 740-569-3254. You can leave a question. You can leave just a general comment, or you can even give a shout out to a team or athlete congratulating them on a great performance. So know, well, here we go. Time to talk football. As promised, on the other side of the break, we talk top quarterbacks, underappreciated position, and why the time is now for a few teams. So, Matt, without further delay, let's get to it. Well, Matt, as we get into football there, Bruce's music selection has to take you back on a little ride in history there, back to high school, doesn't it, with a little of his selection this week.
Yeah, I'm just, I'm not a big Nirvana fan. They ruined the greatest music period of all time, which was hair bands. I feel like they took over and ruined it, so I'm not a big Nirvana fan. But still, you know, hats off to Bruce.
On a football note, as we talk SBC football, I guess when you talk quarterbacks, I guess you'd be kidding yourself, no matter where you go to school or whoever you root for or whatever the case might be. Obviously, Westfall's Trent Williamson is an incredible talent. He probably has the Westfall Mustangs being a favorite in this year's league. I know last year Williamson went 2,000-plus through the air and 1,000-plus on the ground. But when we start talking quarterbacks, I think it's interesting. I know Adina, Paint Valley, I believe Southeastern, even Zane Trace, right off the top of my head, going with first-year quarterbacks, going with kids that, in a lot of cases, are really young. And it kind of brings me in this discussion. Two guys that jumped out at me were Piketon's Isaac Brapson and Huntington's Bryce Vickers. I love Brapson, how efficient he is. He's versatile. He's probably playing behind the better line than, say, a Bryce Vickers. But I think their weapons around them are pretty comparable. I think one thing that was interesting, I mentioned earlier, Herbie Strange, State Farm Insurance Athlete of the Week. I know Isaac Brapson had a great weekend. He's been getting a lot of votes. The one mentioned that he's the only Piketon quarterback to ever beat Waverly twice. Now, that might not sound like that big a deal to me or to you, Matt, or to anybody out there, but I'd say if you are involved in Piketon, I would say that's a pretty big deal in terms of that rivalry. I guess what I like with Bryce Vickers this year is he gets into a second year in a wide open offense, and his weapons that he has around him are just incredible. Logan Chaney, we know from pole vault, and David Shoemaker was an all league freshman in the high jump. Austin Dyer, I know from baseball, is a stolen base guy, a speed guy, can really run. And when you take Coach Keller at Westfall, Coach Gallion at Piketon, and Coach Bartholomew there at Huntington, all of their offenses are, I would say, similar. They all have their different wrinkles they put into it, I'm sure. But it's fun to watch. I know it creates a lot of excitement. In terms of team, I think it's probably unrealistic for Huntington to be a contender. I know they stuck their nose in 3-4 times last year. I think what this year that you'll see the step where they'll stick their nose in 5-6 times, and I think they'll win 2 or 3, and I think that would be a nice step for that program. But as far as Piketon and Westfall go, I definitely think you have contenders. Matt, as far as quarterback discussion goes, I wanted to get your thoughts on just what you think of this year's SVC signal callers.
Well, it's funny, you know, I'll get to see Brapson this Friday. I haven't seen him play yet. I did get a chance to see Vickers play a couple weeks ago in a scrimmage. You really got to enjoy, you know, watching Huntington play. I think for a team that struggled, you know, over the course of the last few years, and they're really just trying to rebuild, they're still a lot of fun to watch at times. You know, they throw the ball around and they do some neat things, and you know, you got to give some credit to their young coach out there, because, you know, they've got quite a few kids dressed for a school their size. There's a lot of excitement out there. So I think he's got the program headed the right way. And like you said, it takes time, but they're building. And Vickers is a big part of that. I mean, he makes a lot of plays. He's definitely a winning type of player. You see that on the basketball court as well as the football field. But one kid I got a chance to see play last week, too, that maybe should be mentioned is the Vanderpool kid from Uniota. There's a kid who's a gamer. You know, he makes a lot of things happen. You're talking about a kid last week that returned a punt for a touchdown, had probably about a 40-yard touchdown pass. ran for a long score to start the second half. So you're talking about a pretty dynamic kid there, calling the signals for Uniota. So the league's got some nice quarterbacks this year.
Well, Matt, I'm glad you mentioned that Uniota game. I know we are using a new feature this year, Shout-O-Matic. I know you were covering the Uniota game for our website last week, and then I know this week you'll be giving us some updates, Fenton County Piketon as well. And fans, if you're not sure what that is, you'll want to check out the website. It's just a new feature. It's basically Facebook without the typing. It's more of the just by voice. All that's going to happen is Matt and myself or someone else working for the website is going to call in different shouts and tell you what has happened in particular games. And if you'll go on there and you'll simply save that to your computer, your favorites on your internet, on your phone, then you can simply check that throughout Friday night. And we're going to give you updates from all over the Side of Valley Conference. So we're real excited about that. I know several of you have asked us to look into getting some live update features, and we've come across this, and we're real excited about providing that for SVC fans. Matt, as I move on in our football discussion, I guess I look at some of these contenders and I see the number of seniors, and when I see that and you think about where they've come the last couple of years, you've got to start to look at, you know, Zane Trace Piketon. I know have a lot of seniors, probably different rosters. I know Zane Trace, a lot of those kids are more first year players, where some of these Piketon kids are more in their third and fourth year. The Uniota numbers were really high, and I think the team that jumps out at me, the time has to be now for Piketon. As I look at our Embroid Me schedule, and again, fans, Embroid Me of Chillicothe, 774-7400. Check that out for all of your SVC apparel needs. But as I look at our Embroid Me schedule, we may not have to look any further than week four. I know Westfall travels down to Piketon, and Piketon has a lot of seniors. We've already talked about their quarterback, very talented skill positions with Williams and Waddell and some other kids. You have to feel like their defense is going to get better. A lot of those kids on the defensive side of the ball have been there now for 3, even 4 years. And I guess the one thing I wanted to get from you, Matt, what is it sometimes if you have a talented group that they're getting into their third, maybe fourth year of varsity, what jumps out at you maybe as that X factor, the deciding thing that can maybe put them over the top?
Well, I think everyone talks about experience, you know what I mean, which is important. But to be more specific, I think what experience gives you is it gives you the composure at times to handle some adversity or handle a tough spot. You know, you'll see a team when they're younger either panic a little bit in a tight spot or get frustrated and let their emotions get the best of them, or just maybe break down and let something silly happen at the wrong time. You know, Piketon's a prime example. Most people know I'm associated with Vinton County High School. Vinton County beat Piketon last year on a 60-yard touchdown pass on the last
play. I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
That they threw across the middle. Kid catches it, a couple missed tackles. Next thing you know, he runs it in. Those are things that happen, I think, when you're young and inexperienced. You know, you break down at inopportune times, which is would be putting that lightly, I think. But you know, those are the things I think when you have experience, you won't see as much of. And Piketon will be able to handle those situations better with all these kids they have back.
Well, you know, Matt, we talk about X factors and we talk about, you know, key positions in the game. I wanted to take a look at an underrated position on the roster this week in our football discussion, and I think it's the kicker position. As I break down the kicker spot, I know Wells from Medina this past Friday night was involved in some field goals and some different extra point tries, and it goes back to Yates last year to Dina. I know the Paint Valley kicking game over the years with Young and Mahaffey and a long list of others has been huge. Uniota's had some soccer kids do it. Zane Trace, Gaines here a couple years back when they were in the playoffs and Westfall playoff teams. I know they had a great kicker, and the name slipping my mind. Cameron Puckett. Cameron Puckett of Westfall on that playoff team was an outstanding kicker. I know Coach Keller would be the first to tell you that he was a valuable weapon. And you know, we go back to this past Friday night when we go to Southeastern. We talk Dylan Miles. Dylan Miles, I believe, had 11 points the other night. He kicks field goals from 42 and 37. I believe the 42 is a Southeastern school record. And I just think beyond the points, the obvious things, it gives you field position, and it's huge in high school because it allows you to almost play more like a college team in terms of finishing drives and not having certain things stall inside the red game. And I guess, Matt, it's one thing not to have a great kicker, but I think everyone has to have some sort of kicking game. I know we've talked about this before. Sometimes I'll go to a game on Friday night, and in the kicking game on Friday nights, I don't know if I should laugh or cry.
Are you crying?
No.
Are you crying? Oh. Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball.
Well, I guess that's true. If we can't cry at baseball, surely we shouldn't at football. But you know, in all seriousness, it's a position that I don't know if it's neglected at the younger levels. I don't know if it's something that in today's big offensive schemes, if coaches aren't more aggressive and just say we're going to play four downs of offensive football. What's your take on this, Matt? Where do you think the breakdown comes from?
Well, with all due respect to Coach Jimmy Dugan there, there's crying for me in football because this has always been a pet peeve of mine. I just don't understand sometimes, I guess, why kicking games aren't better or why there's not more attention or focus paid to them. I just feel like it's an overlooked part of the game, and I think sometimes, to be quite honest, I don't know whether coaches do enough to develop that. You know, you'll see, you said it, I mean, field position, you'll see guys kick off, can't even kick it past 35-yard line, and then you'll see the other team kick it down inside the, you know, 15-yard line, and it results in 20, 25 yards in field position difference to even start a drive.
Sure.
And how many times do you see the drive stall, you know, on the 8 or 9 yard line, and it's fourth and goal, and a team has no choice but just to go for it because they can't even kick a 25-yard field goal? You know, it's frustrating to watch because I have a hard time believing that most schools can't find somebody and develop somebody who can kick and do a good job at that. And a lot of times it might even be a guy who otherwise wouldn't play football. You know, mm-hmm. I told somebody the other day, I don't even care if it's a female. I really don't. I don't care who it is. I mean, it can be any student in the school that can kick a football. I would want to improve that part of my game, I think, if I were running a program, because you know, like you said, with the kid from Southeastern the other night, he's on a team that a lot of people think, you know, look, could have a rough year, maybe rebuilding a little bit. Well, he puts them in a situation to keep a game close or to stay right there sometimes. You know, so that's something I wish that teams would put more emphasis on, maybe even use some of their booster money or fundraising money to bring in a kicking coach or maybe even have an open tryout within the school to find somebody. Because I just have a hard time believing, you know, that there's not kids out there that can kick. You know, you go to high school games, and every now and then you'll run into a soccer-style kicker kicking 40-yarders, and then you'll run into a kid that's kicking straight on like Rafael Septian from the early 80s and can't kick it 20 yards. You know what I mean? It's just there's a vast difference there, and it's really hard to watch because, you know, there's kids out there, there's got to be kids out there that can do it, you know, especially with these schools that have soccer programs. You would think that they could find somebody, you know, in all seriousness. So it's a big part of the game, though. I mean, it's something that affects winning and losing. I mean, you watch professional or college football, and coaches will tell you the number one thing they always talk about, special teams. So it's big.
Well, there's no question. I would love for – we have a lot of great football people. I know we have coaches, players, really good football fans listening to the show every week. Help us out here. Let us know some of the difficulties in doing that. Admin1@svcsportzone.com. Or like I said earlier, call in 569-3254. I think this is a great discussion piece. Let us know the issues with the kicking game in high school. So we move on. C&K Athletic Equipment, one of the great sponsors on our website, they are going to sponsor our two-minute drill this year. And if you're not familiar with our two-minute drill, and we've called it the fast break in the winter and extra innings and all sorts of things, photo finish in the spring. The two-minute drill, we take predictions some weeks. We go rapid-fire questions, etc. This week, we are talking preseason favorites and headlines. So here we go.
Who do you like as the preseason favorite for player of the year in volleyball?
Well, Shane, I, you know, on my end of it, I think that, you know, like so oftentimes with player of the year, it comes down to who wins the league. And that could definitely be the case this year, I think, with the balance in the volleyball league. So, you know, you've got some different players you could look at from some of the contenders we talked about earlier. And the thing of it is that with this first week of the season, and I think you mentioned it earlier, this league, it's not going to be decided, obviously, in week one, but it's going to start to take shape. So there's some very important games that not only are going to decide league champion, but could ultimately decide player of the year.
Well, Matt, I think you make a great point with player of the year coming from the championship team, especially in a wide open year. I think Adina's Jenny Grigsby has to be in that discussion. Even Zane Trace and Uniota, if they are going to be a dark horse, if something crazy like that would happen. Obviously, Haley Carl's an incredible talent, even Alexis Overly. But I really think the player of the year is going to come down to Huntington's Jackie Kello and West Falls' Olivia Cobb. I think those are the two best individual talents. Both have a high risk reward serve in terms of ace air. They're both great hitters. Perhaps some people might think Cobb has the advantage being a setter with some different stats. I really think it's going to come down to head-to-head competition, finding a way to get their team over the hump. If there's a knock on these two, it's sometimes they don't show up every night start to finish, and they're so talented and they both can completely take a match over. So I think those two are the two to watch.
There is little debate in terms of the top team in SVC golf, but who do you like to finish in second place?
Well, I'll go with it's hard to say one team when we talked about it earlier in the show. There's so much, you know, parity there, really 2 through 8, but especially maybe 2 through 5. When I look at the standings, I could see a Westfall sneaking up there. I think one factor that goes into golf a little bit is the course that you play. And with Westfall playing Crown Hill, it's a little bit different, maybe arguably more difficult than some of the courses some of the Chillicothe area kids play. They're getting to play that course every day. They've got a home match still to come. It's that course also probably prepares them a little bit more for, say, a Big Beaver, someplace like that. So they might be able to slide up there into second place.
Well, Matt, I'm going to take a look at the Adina Warriors. I've really debated back and forth with Zane Trace and Westfall because you and I are kind of on the same link here in terms of after Big Beaver, the courses start to stretch out and get a little bit longer. I just think Adina, when I look at their team, I think even though they're young, I think Peyton Cooper is one of the more consistent players in the league. If Daly and Miller can continue to be consistent, they're just going to have to figure out a way to get someone down into the low 50s, high 40s, and they're going to have to find a way. Probably Westfall is a safer pick just because they probably have a little bit better four score most nights. But I think as long as Cooper and Daly and Miller play well, I like the Adina Warriors to sneak out what's going to be an incredible race for second.
With all of the talk in football about quarterbacks, wide open offenses, and all sorts of points being scored, who do you like as this year's top defensive team in the SVC?
Well, I look at this two ways. I mean, I think statistically, I still kind of like Adina in that role. I mean, I know they lost the other night, I think, in overtime, but it was a relatively low-scoring game against Greenfield McLean. It looks like their defense is going to be pretty solid again. And then you also have to look at the teams that make plays defensively and maybe cause turnovers. I watched a Uniota team the other night have returned two fumbles, touchdowns, and have an interception return called back for interference. So they were a team that an opportunistic defense. It looked like they were out there to make plays. So a couple different ways to look at it, really.
Well, I agree with you. If you're going statistically, I think with Westfall, Pike, and Zane Trace, some of these teams play a non-league schedule that's so brutal that they come out of the first 3 weeks, you know, like with Westfall's defense, I truly think they're going to be improved. But when you're playing Taze Valley in week one, that doesn't do a whole lot for you. Logan Elm and teams like that. I do think Python's going to be improved, but I think statistically you do have to look at the running game offenses. Adina, Paint Valley, Uniota, I think all three of those teams are going to be low. I can't disagree with you with Adina, but I do think Paint Valley with a young quarterback and good special teams, I think they're going to look to run the football. I think statistically they could possibly take that defensive title this year.
What headline jumps out at you as the thing to watch during the fall of 2012?
Well, we talked about this earlier, not to run it in the ground, but for me, it's the Adina situation in volleyball. I think you're looking at a program that's seemingly not faced a lot of adversity. They've had it rolling pretty good, and all of a sudden now they're facing some adversity before the first game's even played. So I guess that would be the headline to me. How does Adina, do they rally around each other and get it done again, or does this type of thing tear them down a little bit? So that's really the headline for me.
Well, for me, Matt, I think it's is a predictability versus not so predictable. You know, and usually in the fall, it's pretty cut and dry. When I think of Adrian Ross and Taylor Hatfield over the years, and now, even though I know cross country has Uniode and Zane Trace as teams, you're ranked in the state here in the opening poll, and they're going to be really good. But there's still maybe some questions about individual stars that are going to come up. Even though the golf league does have Uniode as an obvious winner, we talked about the parity there. You mentioned volleyball, Westfall and football. Is this the year maybe a Piketon closes the gap and takes this back? Or, you know, so I think as we go through fall, I'm anxious to see, is it going to be more of the same, or are we going to get some changes? Well, Matt, I know toward the end here, we usually like to empty the inbox. There's no way we can get to all of them, but we definitely carry them over throughout the year. I know we enjoy hearing from all the fans, and we truly mean it when we say we're sorry that we can't get to all of them. But, Matt, I do think we have time for one more there. Is there one in the inbox that jumps out at you this week? Or
Yeah, Shane. Here's one that I kind of like, because I've been faced with this myself. It says, I don't understand why so many coaches and so many sports are playing juniors. And even in some cases asking the league to allow seniors to play JV. Do you think anything positive can come from playing juniors on JV, or do you think JV should be only for freshmen and sophomores? It goes on to say, I have also felt if you have a freshman or sophomore with equal talent or potential that you play them over the upperclassmen.
Well, I definitely think that's the sports cliche, and it obviously has become a cliche because I do think there's some truth to it. I think sometimes, though, there's more to it than that. I think when I look at juniors playing JV, I look maybe for a couple reasons. One, some programs are really, really good, and you have kids waiting their turn. They're on JV playing a varsity role to get them ready for their senior year because there's great depth and great programs, and sometimes you truly are waiting your turn. I think there's other situations where numbers are down and juniors are needed to keep programs alive and give kids experience. And then I think there's some unique situations that probably sometimes make fans upset on the surface, but if they really dig into the coach's mind, they'll see. Let's say that you have a two or three really good wide receivers, freshmen and sophomores. You might bring a junior quarterback down. Maybe you start a sophomore on varsity at quarterback, but you need the junior to come down and be able to throw the football around to develop the wide receivers. I, as a baseball coach, may need a junior catcher to stay down to help develop young pitching, point guard, post type of comparison in basketball. You know, I don't know your take on it, Matt, but those are some of the philosophies that I try to stay consistent. But I really think you have to be careful just saying, here's what I'm going to do every time, because I think you can get yourself burnt sometimes.
Yeah, you as a coach, you got to really stay away from the always and nevers, you know, because because, you know, you have to take each situation individually. But juniors on JV, I mean, it's like you say, sometimes when you have a successful program, especially, you have a lot of depth, you have to get those kids ready. I know I had a junior on JV at Vinh County a couple years ago that as a senior was all league. We just happened to have seven seniors in front of him the year before, you know, so sometimes it just happens that way. I don't think there's anything wrong with doing it as long as you have a long-term plan.
Right. Well, I tell you, Matt, it's a lot of fun to empty the inbox. We have a lot of great discussion. This has been a fun show. I think we have some great things coming up throughout the year. Can't stress enough to people the phone number 740-569-3254. Or if you simply are more comfortable using the Facebook or the admin one at svcsportzone.com, I understand that. But I'd really like some feedback on the volleyball situation. Love some feedback on the kicking situation in football. And anything else we talked about tonight, agree or disagree, let us know. So on that note, until next time, for the great people at Cardo's Family Fun Center inside Triple Crown here in Chillicothe, for DBK Media Services, and for my co-host, Matt Combs, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting svcsportzone.com, where we are 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Cardo's Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by svcsportszone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time. Join us next time for the Cardo's Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk.